give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to episode 37 of the Rary is Fundamental podcast. Cause this is Thriller. What's up, Internet? This is the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 37, recorded on October the 29th, 2015, 2 days before Halloween, brought to you by Rary.net and syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. I am your sleep party host, Ray Moraldi, a.k.a. Ray Ray, a.k.a. the No Look Pats, a.k.a. the greatest guy you'll ever meet. Not really, but if you never heard this podcast before, everybody knows me as an NBA online writer, which is a fancy way of saying I'm an NBA blogger. I do the NoLookPass.com, and usually we're going to get a lot of NBA talk in this podcast, but really, I talk about whatever the heck I want, whether it's sports, video games, anime, TV shows, stuff like that. I usually have two regular segments on this podcast. One is called Girl Talk with a Gal Pal Squad, where I talk to my girls that are called the Gal Pal Squad, and we talk about fashion, dating, etc., getting a female perspective from all such things. And there's a section called Kicking It Old School with Rary and EJ, where we talk about anything from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. But for today's show, or our writer, yesterday's show, again, recorded on October 29, 2015, we're going to talk NBA, purely NBA. And the season just started about a couple days ago, so it's a little fresh right now. I talked to Harrison Fagan of SilverScreenAndRoll.com. They covered Los Angeles Lakers, but really we talk about the entire league. But yeah, mostly about the Lakers, so I'm not going to waste your time. Here is Harrison Fagan from Silver Screen and Roll. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 37. This is Ray Ray going solo tonight because this is way too late in the night for East Coast people. So my guest, he does Silver Screen and Roll and Lakers Outsiders, covering obviously the Los Angeles Lakers, the glamour team here in the West Coast. Harrison Fagan, what's up?
Hey Ray, thanks for having me on. It's going to be fun. I'm honored to be on your 37th podcast in honor of Meta World Peacemaking the Lakers.
Thank you so much for making a reference to that, because I figure out of all the people that would get that reference, it'll be you.
Yeah, so. I was. It just came to me right now when you said it. I was happy that, you know, that coincidence worked out.
Yes, and of course, Meta World Peace is back on the Lakers now. So we met in Summer League. I've heard about you for, like, I don't know, the past couple of years or so before meeting you in Summer League. So how did you get started? When? And isn't this fun or what?
Yeah, this is awesome. I got started, actually. I started out, like bottom that you can start at Silver Screen and Roll. All respect to the people who do the credits post for us. But it was just, I don't know if you've ever seen the credits. It's a daily links post credits, that we run. And it's great. It's, if you want to catch up on your NBA news with it being Lakers-centric first, and then you want to look around the NBA, it's a great place to get caught up on the day's news. But man, does it take a long time to put together, and it is thankless. And I appreciate the people who do it now every single day that took that responsibility from me. But yeah, I started out there. I was doing that for a while because I really loved the site. I wanted to contribute in some way, and I wasn't really comfortable moderating comments yet. And then I think bottom line, what happened was they were desperate for writers at the time. And so they let me start writing a little bit. I did a couple fan posts that made the front page, and then they let me start writing a little bit for them. And Drew Garrison, the editor-in-chief, Ben Rosales, the great Mombino, Danae Preston, SoCal Gal, they all really took me under their wing and have worked with me, like, countless hours editing my stuff to where I'm actually able to write at a competent level today.
But I don't know. You've always written more competent than me, that's for sure. I just put out garbage out there. So
But how old are you? Because like you grew up with the Kobe Lakers, right? I'm gonna guess.
Yes.
Because you're.
I'm 24, so that's another like great number reference on this podcast. People are gonna think we're. What do you call those people that find meaning in every single number? Where you know we're into horoscopes and stuff like that.
Oh my god, I don't know what
numerology. That I think I don't know
something like that. Yeah. Now we're gonna have nightmares about that later on tonight. the Lakers played. Well, this is going to be coming out on Friday, but they played on Wednesday. It's only one game, but did you like what you saw?
I liked the first half a whole lot more than I liked the second half.
That's for sure.
Yeah. That third and fourth quarter was brutal, but, you know, shockingly, when you put a lineup out there that has Brandon Bass and Ryan Kelly as your front court, players are on the other team are going to be able to walk to the rim. Those guys are going to try, but that's just not their forte. They aren't rim protectors, especially not like Roy Hibbert is a rim protector. And so when the defense is kind of designed to funnel guys towards that middle, and that's what the wings are used to doing is just funneling guys towards Hibbert, and instead they're funneling them towards Brandon Bass and Ryan Kelly, that's not going to go super well.
See, last night I was watching a game with the boys, and all we kept saying was, I feel bad for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? I was like, when I read that Jordan Clarkson was going to be the point guard for the majority of the game, and not D'Angelo Russell, who you drafted to be a point guard.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck is that?
So just think about Russell since he joined the Lakers. He started on draft night. And people were already calling him a bust and complaining that the organization should have taken Okafor and that he was the wrong pick for them because he was a guard. And then he had Byron Scott on the, you know, on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Byron Scott's out there comparing him to Magic Johnson as a 19-year-old. And then he comes in, he says all the right things, but he comes in, he definitely struggled in summer league. Yeah. And then as we go into training camp, his role's being constantly changed. He's being yanked in and out of the starting lineup. And then he finds out, yes, you're going to start on opening night. You wanted to be with the starters, but you're starting at shooting guard, a position that we haven't had you play at all. And so, I mean, he's just – and it's in a stagnant offensive system that gets bogged down in the half court. He doesn't really get to run the pick and roll, which is really his strength right now as a player. And then he's expected to go out there and guard NBA players on the other end for the first time. So, I mean, it didn't look great for him yesterday, and I don't know that, frankly, we should expect it to yet. He's 19 years old. He's a lot closer to being – I have a little brother. I have three little brothers, but one of them just turned 16 today. And it struck me that he's 3 years younger than D'Angelo Russell. I can't imagine him starting for the Lakers in 3 years. Number one, because no offense to Forrest if you're listening to this, but you're probably not going to be that good at basketball. But number two, like, I don't know. When I was 19, I could not have handled all of this with the amount of poise that he's shown so far throughout these struggles. I don't know how you feel about yourself.
Especially when he's being put in a position where he really can't win.
Yeah.
They're playing him off the ball, and he's just, like, standing there befuddled. Like, what am I going to do? I usually handle the ball, and now they're telling me to cut?
Yeah.
Or stand there? What? You know what I mean? So, it was – I just didn't get that move. Like, he's a point guard. I know we're in this whole thing about positioning revolution where there are really no positions in the NBA anymore. But seriously – when you specialize in handling the ball, why are you playing him off the ball?
Yeah, he needs to get the touch. It doesn't matter. I mean, if they want to call him or Clarkson the shooting guard, that really doesn't matter. They're the same height. Clarkson's a bit better defender at this point just because he has a year of experience. But you would think that eventually you can see a situation where they can switch those 1-2 pick and rolls that some teams like to run now because they're similar size. They have similar defensive potential. Maybe Clarkson a little bit higher upside on that end, but you can see a scenario where they're kind of interchangeable in their roles on offense and defense. They can both handle the ball, and it's just a versatile pairing. But right now, when his biggest strength is handling the ball, and you're telling him to go play off ball the entire game or most of the game, that's got to be really confusing while he's still learning the system and learning the ins and outs of the league.
Exactly. So Kobe Bryant, how did he look out there for you, to you? He shot 24 times in a minute's limit.
Yeah, he looked pretty solid in the second quarter when he was making everything, but otherwise, I hate to say, and it kills me to say this, as somebody that grew up watching Kobe, and this guy was my hero when I was a kid, but he killed the Lakers down the stretch last night with his shot selection, and I don't know that that's necessarily entirely on him. It just looks like a lot of the time when the offense is out there, they're so overly deferential to him, and they just give him the ball and clear out, don't do anything off the ball, and he just isn't really left with another option other than to go to work. But that has to be kind of, I think, a meeting of the minds between him and Byron, where they have to find a way to get him back to more of what he was doing in the preseason, where it was a lot more catch and shoot. It was a lot more actions off the ball designed to get him an easier shot rather than him just, you know, Kobe being Kobe.
Yeah, the offense is stagnant, like you said. Any other Lakers that you liked in that game?
Honestly, Randall, I thought, played a really good game for the most part, and I really liked, and I wrote about this today, shameless plug, how he was not afraid to go at KG. I thought that was a really good sign for his development, and you can kind of see the Meta World Peace influence there. You can see his fingerprints all over that. Randall kind of came out like, you know, between fighting KG, or not fighting KG, but really scrapping with KG all of last night, and getting into it with Draymond Green during those two preseason games. Randall's almost like that new kid in school that just walks up on the schoolyard and just finds the biggest guy he can, you know, on campus, and just picks a fight with him just to show people that they shouldn't mess with him, is almost how it comes off to me. And yeah, I kind of like that fire.
Roy Hibbert also had a double-double.
Well, Roy Hibbert, I thought, did a good job protecting the rim for the most part. But he can't cover up for everything. But I felt like he did mostly a good job when he was in there. I think the Lakers just really missed him when he was out. And, you know, I thought he played a pretty good game. But, yeah, I mean, the Lakers, that collapse was – that was a little disappointing on opening night. But, hey, fans have to dig in and just be ready for more games like that this year. This team's really young, and that kind of thing is going to happen.
Yeah, they had to be patient. It's, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the court is really young.
Yeah.
Except for Kobe, you know what I mean? Like, and Hibbert's still fairly young.
Yeah, right, I mean, now. I think he's 29, right? 28, 29?
Yeah, 28, something like that, yeah. So, yeah, so he's basically just getting into his prime as an NBA player. So, and, of course, you know, again, Randall, Russell, Clarkson, you have three rookies starting.
Yeah.
I mean, basically rookies.
Basically Randall, rookies.
Yeah, Randall's played in the second NBA game. It was kind of weird too when they said, "Oh, it's the second year in the league. He only played like 14 minutes last year. He's still practically a rookie. I wonder if that counts." Actually,
it does count. They've announced that the team looked into it and tried to get him classified as a rookie so that he would be eligible for Rookie of the Year this year. And that is not the case. He's not eligible. The league said that because he played minutes during his rookie season, he's not eligible.
That's weird. How come in baseball it's different?
Yeah,
like they play 20 games in 1 year, and then the next year they play a full schedule, and then he's a rookie.
Baseball, I think, does it in a way that makes a little more sense. I think in the NBA it's just been so rare, because in the NBA essentially, if a rookie's going to play not going to play that much, it's because they got injured. It's not like baseball where they get sent down to the minor leagues.
Yeah,
and so it was kind of an unprecedented situation. I don't know that there are, not that I can remember, there aren't a lot of rookies that got injuries like Kim, or an injury like his, so soon into their career.
We'll be right back with more Handsome Harrison Fagan from Silver Screen and Roll after this break.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're
But then we also had players back then that got that went back and forth from the D-League to the NBA. Jordan Farmar, for example.
Well, Jordan Farmar wasn't... The Lakers weren't mounting a campaign to get him Rookie of the Year, I don't think.
I'm just saying, yeah. Like, he went back and forth. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird.
It's a weird rule. They really should... They should put some type of minutes minimum on it or something like that to where...
Or... Yeah, or some sort of exception, because, again, Randall got hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, some type of, almost like a medical redshirt type thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, it's unprecedented, so.
Yeah.
Your favorite NBA overreactions from the first 3 days of the league so far, the season so far?
Oh, favorite NBA. Number one has to go to one of my friends who will remain unnamed, who called me and said... D'Angelo Russell is a bust. This is what I've been saying since he was picked, and he's just terrible. And like that's not an exact quote, but it was pretty. That's a cleaned up version of it.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So that was probably my favorite overreaction. My second favorite overreaction probably led to the most ridiculous fine of all time. It was actually a player, Austin Rivers, throwing that cushion into the crowd and hitting a lady in the face. Have you ever seen anything like that, getting fined for throwing something into the crowd? I mean, other than Meta World Peace, speak of the devil.
I think, didn't Aaron Brooks throw something to the crowd and he got fined? It wasn't a cushion, for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think, not that I don't, you might be right. I'm not remembering it off the top.
I'm going to look it up right now, but yeah, it's a cushion.
Yeah, but
like,
he hurt. He hit a lady directly in the face. I saw a video of it tonight.
Yeah,
it was
they showed it earlier in the game. So.
Yeah, it was on target. But yeah, that was the most. I think that's the most ridiculous find in the NBA that I've heard of.
$25,000 for a hit in the face.
Yeah, I mean, wow. they had to cover the little season ticket package they gave her to apologize for free somehow.
Aaron Brooks threw a mouthpiece into the crowd, and he got fined $25,000.
Oh, that's really gross.
It is pretty gross.
We got to do some type of long-form reporting on players throwing things into the crowd, and in that process, we need to discover if someone took that mouth card, did they take it home, is that available on eBay somewhere, some type of weird
gross
collector's item that's circulating?
That is gross. I wonder who got that. I don't know if it's...
I hope that was the janitor that just cleaned that up and threw it right in the trash, because if you're taking home an NBA player's mouth guard, that's a little bit of a problem. That's weird.
Oh, but you know how people are. They would sell, like, weird stuff on eBay, like somebody's hair or somebody's...
In 30 years, we're going to see it on eBay. It's going to be a bizarre post on Ball Don't Lie or something where they found someone's eBay listing for Aaron Brooks' mouth guard. It's been DNA tested, and they verified that it's actually his. They have documentation.
And he'll sell it for $25,000 to pay for Aaron Brooks' fine.
Yeah.
There you go. That covers the fine. We heard Charles Barkley and Shaq complain about Anthony Davis shooting threes. How about that overreaction after one game?
I think that's definitely an over, and that's a result over process complaint, as is kind of typical with, I think, a lot of the national media. If Anthony Davis had come out, I forget how many threes he, do you know how many offhand threes he took?
Not the first game, but I know the second game he went 3 for 5, so that kind of erases.
Yeah, exactly. So if he would have gone 3 for 5 in his first game, they would have said, "Whoa, it's a great aspect that he's adding to his play." Probably.
Yes.
I mean, Charles probably would have still said that he needs to be able to go into the post and post up and beat a little guy, barbecued chicken, whatever.
That's how you dominate.
Yeah, Shaq be like, "You can't average 28 and 15 with threes."
That's how you get your name up the rafters.
Yeah, I don't... Anthony Davis, I think, absolutely should be shooting threes because he's already shown enough of a jumper that why not stretch him out and see if he can make a couple threes and take a couple steps back and space the floor a little more and make their team that much dangerous.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I mean, it'll mix up his game because he's already, like, a terror inside. Imagine if he goes outside and it changes up the entire defense.
Yeah, and he has a handle, too. So if that starts to become a threat where guys have to play up close on him, then he's going to be able to dribble past them.
Hey, he started as a point guard in high school, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, You know, he just had like a freaking 2 foot growth spurt somewhere down the line. You know.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on my 2 foot growth spurt.
Yeah, me too. I'm still 5'7", and I've been 5'7" since I was 14.
Just keep drinking your milk. It'll happen.
Ah, that's what I've been doing. I like milk, especially with like cereal. I just had Frosted Flakes earlier before I went on this podcast.
Oh man, those people that eat cereal. I've heard like story. I think there was that one women's soccer player that went viral because she was eating her cereal with water, and she was advocating for that. That's disgusting.
That's gross.
There's something. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you. You can't eat cereal with water. That's.
I've never tried it. Why would you eat?
What would possess you to try that? Just go buy some milk. Milk is that expensive.
Is it supposed to be healthier or something?
It's probably for health reasons.
Why not just drink water?
Yeah, I've heard of people doing orange juice, and it's just, yeah. Cereal, you either do it dry or you do it with milk, or there's something wrong. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
That's my NBA overreaction, I guess.
Favorite cereal?
Favorite cereal? Oh, that's tough. It's probably Fruit Loops or Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and I'm going to go to the grocery store and get some Cinnamon Toast Crunch later tonight.
Yeah, road trip after.
I just had Frosted Flakes. I'm so healthy. I lost my train of thought here.
Hey, that's what edits are for.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even editing that out. So surprises in the first couple of days. You see Portland beat up on New Orleans?
I did not get a chance to watch that game, no. But I saw that CJ McCollum went off because I'm playing against him in fantasy this week, so that was disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
I was borderline on drafting him because I think he actually does have good potential to put up some numbers this year, especially with how little ball handling and creativity Portland has outside of Damian Lillard.
I mean, practically like the entire starting lineup outside of Lillard is gone from last year.
Yeah.
So huge changes in the Portland
lineup.
They
looked like they were just brutal against the Lakers in the preseason. I was at that game, and I was wondering, you know, Lillard's obviously going to play better than he did and play more minutes, and they're going to try a little harder because it's not preseason. But that team didn't even strike me as being that much better than the Lakers, if at all. I mean, the Lakers won that game, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the team is just not... They don't even have any depth, basically.
Yeah.
You know? At least the Lakers, there are some veterans that have been around, Lou Williams and Brandon Bass. I can't really say much for the Blazers, but, you know, hey.
They got Vonleh, they got Leonard, they got Lillard, they got McCollum. They got some young guys. I'm probably forgetting about someone.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, most of us are probably because it is the new Blazers.
Yeah, they're rebuilding, so that's where they're at right now.
Yeah, so worst team in the West that you predicted.
Worst team in the West. Originally, I predicted the Timberwolves, but after last night, I mean, they were playing against the Lakers, but I think they could potentially be respectable. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's probably, for me, it could be Dallas if injuries cause the bottom to fall out from under them because they are just not healthy. And they're relying on a lot of older guys, a lot of guys coming back from injury. But I also think Portland could be in the mix for that bottom. I think Denver might be in the mix. The Lakers.
Denver upset the Rockets last night.
Yeah. Well, behind, I think, a flurry of Moutier assists, right?
Yep, exactly.
Didn't he? I believe he set the record for a Nuggets rookie. So.
And then Gallinari going off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually my pick for Rookie of the Year, Moutier, not Gallinari. I think Gallinari is ineligible. I think he's played enough at this point.
I know. He's got that Julius Randle rule going on.
Yeah.
Damn it. I don't know. Like,
The Lakers will be in the mix. Despite they're talking about making the playoffs, and they're setting the bar a bit too high. The Lakers potentially could be in that bottom of the West. I don't think that's the most likely outcome. I think that they will be better than that, but there is a chance. It's in play.
Yeah. I mentioned Minnesota as being the worst, the Lakers, Denver, but obviously Minnesota and Denver is one, and the Lakers look good for a half.
Yeah.
But it is a long season. It's only the first game and second game, whatever. So we shall see.
That's our job in the media. We're supposed to overreact to these early results.
Everything, exactly. Like, Rubio is suddenly, like, the best shooter in the league.
He might win MVP this year, if we're being honest.
Maybe Hall of Fame, like, next year, really.
Yeah, they might change the rules, induct him early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to change the logo soon enough.
Yeah, to Ricky Rubio with his – oh, he doesn't have floppy hair anymore, but, you know.
Hey, I would think that you'd be his biggest fan, given the name of your podcast.
Exactly. and you know, we our names have the same first letter, R. I mean, yeah. And I used to have his floppy hair too.
Yeah, you know, you were the playground version of Ricky Rubio.
Exactly.
I think I've seen some clips of you playing floating around on Twitter, so.
Oh god, those are so horrible. It was the old SB Nation versus True Hoop, and I would only put out the clip where I threw a pass to, I believe it was Andrew Sharp, in that game. And that was it, because I'm not going to put out any other clips after that.
Oh, I'm sure that I didn't get a chance to watch that game. I think they played a bloggers game at Summer League this year. I didn't get a chance to go there, but I'm sure it's just brutal. They honestly, I heard someone in the SB Nation house, I'm sorry, I can't give credit to you, whoever you are, but they were suggesting that the Players Tribune should send a couple players to report on that bloggers game and be as brutal
goodness.
In their criticism to the bloggers as we can be to them.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, and then later on we're going to have, like, NBA blogger rankings.
I would love to read – I honestly would love to read that.
It's like, number 87, Ray Maraldi.
I don't think I would make the top 200 in terms of basketball players anymore.
You didn't play ball?
I used to play. I don't play anymore. I had a couple back injuries, so I'm so out of practice now. Yeah.
That's so brutal. Yeah. Back injuries.
I mean, but I was terrible before too. I was just tall. I'm 6'4", so I was able to get some rebounds, get in the post a little bit sometimes against the right matchups. I set some good screens back in the day, but that was about it.
I don't believe that. I bet you have the game of Pau Gasol.
Occasionally, one of those hook shots would go in, but more often it was like Kendrick Perkins taking hook shots on the Pelicans this year. It was, you know, occasionally it'll work out, but it's not something that you want to go to as a primary offensive option.
Hey, Kendrick Perkins did not miss in his first game as a Pelican.
Yeah, he looked like he could be – him and Rubio, I think, might go down the stretch. It's going to be a close race, but early MVP candidates.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio or Kendrick Perkins. We'll decide. Last thing before I let you go. What do you think about the World Series? Do you watch baseball at all?
I do not watch baseball at all. My knowledge of the World Series extends to the Royals and Mets are playing in it. And the main reason that I know that is because Tom Fear, who's also from Silver Screen and Roll, is quite possibly the biggest Royals fan in the world. And we've been having a ball. He has season tickets. So we've been having a great time watching for him on the broadcasts and vining clips of him chewing a towel or doing weird hand claps or whatever. He seems to be a favorite of the ESPN cameramen.
Yeah, I don't know any baseball either. I just tried to talk with Adam Jacoby, who's not here in this podcast, and whoever's a guest on this show. Usually, like, in the summer, I've been getting different types of sports people. But since basketball season is starting now, and my main thing is basketball, I'm trying to get more basketball now.
Well, you got to go back to the best sport once it's back in play. I mean, you can hang out in the D League of sports while the NBA isn't going on.
Exactly. Now baseball people are going to kill me while listening to this.
Hey, there's no-look passes in baseball.
Yeah, who has done a no-look pass in baseball?
Probably maybe a pitcher trying to get somebody that's trying to steal seconds or something.
I feel like Derek Jeter's done one before or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just naming people. Okay, so Harrison, tell us where we can follow you on Twitter, where your work is, all that stuff. Go ahead.
So you can follow me at HMFAIGEN, HM Fagan. And all of my work appears on Silver Screen and Roll. I do podcasts for them, and I write over there. And then I also do podcasts for LakersOutsiders.com, which you can follow at LakersOutsiders. Silver Screen and Roll is at LakersSBN. And, yeah, it's just I'm having a great time. I'm glad the NBA's back. I've gotten credentialed a couple times this year. I'm crossing my fingers for some regular season ones. So hopefully I can keep But either way, I'm just having a great time writing about this team. It's so nice to have a Lakers team that has actual talent and potential and players worth watching after last season. When at the begin, I think I said this last night to someone else. At the beginning of the season, once Randall went down, and we knew nothing about Clarkson, it was like, okay, maybe Ryan Kelly plays some minutes, and it was just last year was brutal.
Yeah. 21-61 of a Lakers team. Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yeah, never thought I would see that. So, ladies, if you like a man who loves his basketball, who loves his Lakers, and loves his Fruit Loops, Harrison is the man. Thanks, Harrison.
Thanks, Ray.
This is Jamie Nagio from TWC Sportsnet, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Thank you so much to Harrison Fagan for appearing on the 37th episode of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. It was great talk about NBA overreactions, the Lakers, Fruit Loops, and ew, mouthpieces being thrown to the crowd. Anyway, as you know, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rareray.net, and it's being syndicated on the Happy Hour Network. You can also find the podcast on Stitcher. As for the podcast Twitter, you can follow it at rareray_is_fun, and for my personal /basketball Twitter, it's the No Look Pass. And once again, follow Harrison at HMFagan. That's HMFAIGEN on Twitter. That's all I got. We'll probably have another episode in the next few days or so, but, you know, I can use a break, really, because I'm doing it. By the way, shameless plug, if you like wrestling, I co-host a wrestling podcast. It's at tjrwrestling.net with my good friend John Ken. It's called the TJR Wrestling Podcast, and we've had some great guests on there, like former Divas Champion Mickey James and former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas. We're going to have more awesome episodes soon. So that's all I got. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
One thing that's important is Queen basketball and repping my hood, you know, Queens Project. You already know what's really good.
You won't be in Queensbridge. You'll be in Oklahoma City. We'll
Queens,
see you there.
Baby, you already know.
Game over, yeah!
Molded.